Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going today?
I'm doing well, Jason. Good to be here. You know, just a few days ago, it was Jason Celebration Day, otherwise known as Father's Day. How was your Father's Day this past weekend? I'm sure you were greatly celebrated as just the provider of everything for your family. I mean, what a dad.
It's wonderful. My wife got me a cake, and on the cake was a picture of Chris Schaefer. And she actually said, be more like Chris, please.
Yeah,
so
right.
We celebrated you in my household,
right.
Chris.
Okay. Well, as your daddy, I'm very proud of you, Jason. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, we have a tough topic today. You know, it's as Grace has so amazingly said probably a couple of years ago, we're going to have to get naked on the internet and talk about it.
You ready?
You've picked, you picked a tough subject for us today. You've, you know, I'm a bit intimidated, a bit worried, but I know it'll be good. I know it'll be good. So listeners, stick around. We've got a great topic for this week.
Yeah, definitely, Chris. We'll be talking about what to do when broad keywords are actually working amazing and they're the only things you're running, and then you got to figure out what you want to do from there. And we actually saw one of these situations this week in a big way, and it kind of opened our eyes up to this is a situation we need to handle because we see it from time to time. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll be talking about the different ways you can run broad keywords inside your Google Ads account. Before we begin, Chris, I just want to remind everybody about the PPC jobs page at paidsearchpodcast.com. Employers post jobs there for people in this space. And if you're an employer looking to post a job, just fill out the form on that page. And then we have our first 100 episodes. Chris, I was listening to a few of them last week. A lot different. Very funny to hear ourselves from just a few years ago, but a world away.
Yeah.
And those are available for sale, episodes 1 through 100. But this is episode number 316. We're going to be diving into broad keywords and what to do when they're working out amazing and how to go from there. And we will jump right into that after this message from Chris.
I want to remind you guys that we are sponsored by Opteo. That's OPTEO.com. And these guys are so chill and relaxed about everything. Like, they let me say whatever I want because they trust that whatever I'm going to say is going to be great because I love the tool and many of our listeners love the tool. There's nothing bad to say about it. So what I'm going to do, I've opened Opteo on my screen here and I'm looking at it. I'll give you a real idea of the kind of improvements and the kind of work that you can get done in Opteo. My high priority improvements include write new ad, pause this keyword, add this negative keyword, replace this broad keyword with an exact match, change budget here, all kinds of different high priority things. Pause duplicate keyword. Then I move down into my medium priority, adjust ad schedule bids, apply negative keyword list, adjust location bids. I mean, the creativity of managing a campaign day after day, week after week, really becomes a grind. And Opteo is a wonderful tool to help you get past that and to see things that you've never seen before, be alerted about things that you did not even know you needed to be concerned about. So check them out at opteo.com/PSP for an 8-week free trial. You can only get it right here. It's exclusive offer at opteo.com/PSP.
Okay, Chris. So we have a situation in Google Ads where sometimes you go into an existing account and you look at what's been running. So oftentimes there's just broad keywords in an account. Do you see that a lot of times with new clients or when you're doing consulting? Just all broad keywords. That's it.
Yep.
No phrase, no exact.
Absolutely.
And when you see that, what is your impression usually? Is it usually like, oh, this is running great? Or usually is it like, wow, there's a ton we can do to improve things here because I'm looking at the search terms list and it's all over the place because of broad keywords. Is that What do you usually see when you see all broad keywords?
Yeah, I mean, I usually try and remain very positive. When I do my consulting sessions with people, I try and be positive and help them. And usually my speech is, hey, great news. You've got lots of keyword research that you've been paying for, and we're going to make use of that. You know, that's a very positive spin on a scary situation. But yes, typically when I see it, I think, okay, this is bad. All broad keywords, this is bad, for sure.
So I think back in the day, maybe when we started this podcast, I would say that was the case 90%+ of the time when it was all broad. If you're going to show me an account with all broad keywords, I'm going to show you, back in the day, 90%+ of the time, a search terms list that is horrible.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Sure.
That seems to be changing, though, Chris. In the last like year or two, I'm running into a situation more and more where I look at all broad keywords and it's in okay to even good shape.
Yeah.
Is it half the time? Maybe not. I don't think it's up to that, but maybe one out of every three times, one out of every four or five times, I look at an account, all broad keywords, and it's actually in really, really good shape. And the search terms that are getting the volume, for the most part, look really, really good. We have a very cynical audience. I could see a lot of people just jumping to a conclusion here and saying, well, we don't see half or 80% or 20%, or sometimes I saw the record the other day, like 92%. We don't see a big percentage of our search terms anymore. So it could be that we're not seeing some of the junk that comes with broad keywords, these one out of three, one out of five times where things look perfect. Or we have to be open to the fact that it really is as good as it looks, and the search terms we can't see are just as good. Do you have an opinion on that? On that kind of way someone might think about search terms with broad these days?
I agree with you that they have changed. Honestly, it's been so long since, you know, it was 5-10 years ago. You know, I can't really remember what broad keywords were like because I never really thought about it, you know, because I never thought they would change. So I didn't really think about broad keywords.
And you didn't try them as much.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really think about them as much. But, you know, now that the definition of a keyword has changed, now I think about it. Now I think about, well, what were they before? And yeah, I agree with you that they were definitely scarier. And now in the world of AI and, you know, machine learning, all this kind of stuff, they don't seem quite as scary. But still, both you and I agree, when we look at an account with all broad keywords, we're still not like thinking, oh, great decision, great choice to do that.
Well, that's why we're talking about today, because things are getting tougher when we run into these situations. Because to give you an example, I'm looking at a new account the other day that I'm going to start managing. People want someone to just run it better than they're running it in-house. They want someone to bounce ideas off and someone to be there to improve it. And they know there's room for improvement. But at the same time, they're running a big account and they're running all broad keywords. And I was shocked at the search terms they were getting. Absolutely shocked. Yes, every now and then a bad one was showing up, but primarily they were amazing. And it was weird because they were not tied to the keyword. They were not organized, if you will. Like, you could have a broad keyword, and then it was getting a ton of search term action for another keyword that was in another ad group or even another campaign.
Oh.
And so it was very unorganized in that sense, and it was coming at them in a very unorganized way. But at the end of the day, the searches were really, really strong. Mm. And my take on broad keywords as we record this in 2022 is, one, if someone's going to say, well, we don't see the 20% to 50% or more sometimes of the search terms anymore, those must be bad search terms. If it's broad, you're only seeing the good ones. I'm going to say I don't buy into that because I have to deal with reality, and reality is that we can only see the search terms we can see. So I'm going to go off of those, and we can see conversion data and all that. And the next thing I'm going to say about broad keywords is that I now judge it on an industry by industry basis. I've seen some industries where broad keywords work amazing and some where they work horribly. And this experience I had with this large account with all broad keywords with perfect search terms, but just messy, it leads me to think I'm right here because it's a very specific industry and their keywords, multiple words long, like we talk about with broad keywords, usually good to do, have longer keywords. So you give the system more context. But the other thing is this industry, it could not be confused for anything else. Reasonably by a computer or by a human.
Okay.
It was very specific to this industry. And there's really no like, oh, someone could search three out of the four words in the search or two out of the four words.
There's no gray area.
And mean something else. Yeah, there's really no gray area.
That's nice. Okay.
With that, broad keywords were working amazing in the sense that the search terms were quality, but it was very scattered and unorganized still. But the search terms were quality at the end of the day. Mm. So my kind of first takeaway here, Chris, is that I think broad keywords are now an industry by industry experience, if you will.
I absolutely agree. I think I've seen broad keywords do phenomenally well in some situations and just constantly fall off the cliff on other things. You know, they just absolutely fail in other industries. So yeah, I agree. Jason, let me ask you, for this account that you saw, and you were so surprised with the quality of traffic, was this campaign saturated with negative keywords to make that happen? Or was this happening naturally?
I do not recall. I do not recall.
Okay.
I did not look. Or maybe if I did look, I don't remember. But the point is, Chris, I've got myself a pickle here. Because usually in the past, when I go into an account that's all broad keywords, there's obvious things to do. You can run exact match keywords. You can run phrase match keywords. You can pause a ton of broad match keywords. You may not run any broad match keywords going forward. I don't want to do that in this case. My inclination is not to do that because it's already working out really, really well. And so the question is for this episode, when you go into an account, maybe you're a business owner, you're looking at your account, you're running all broad keywords, you want to make things better, but things are already in really, really good shape. You've got some good news and some bad news here. The good news is that broad keywords are working amazing and you're getting a ton of low-cost volume that's probably working well based on your search terms. The bad news is here is that it's very, very difficult to find out where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're going to be talking about on this episode, Chris. So there's two situations when you're running broad match keywords and they're working perfect. There's one scenario where the entire account is broad, and that's where you've really got a problem in the sense of what do you do next? And that's what we'll be talking about as we go through this episode. But then you have another scenario I want to knock out with you where just a few keywords are broad, and the rest are phrased and exact, and they're all getting volume, and those broad keywords are working great. What would you do, Chris, if you were taking over an account with some broad keywords that were working amazing?
Hmm. Oh, man. And they're mixed in an account, so the broad keywords are just sitting there with other...
Let's do a classic non-professional Google Ads these days, or a professional that's lost their way and then got fired. Tons and tons of ad groups.
Okay.
And one campaign. Okay. And phrase and exact all over the place and broad mixed in.
Okay. I mean, I feel like a surgeon walking in and, you know, I don't know where the problem is and I don't know where the good things are. You know, it's like there's some kind of soup going on here and I don't know exactly what to pull out and what to patch up. There's no way I could answer. It's terrifying because if I stop this one keyword, there might be some kind of magic happening. And let's say it's a normal account and they only get like a 1 or 2 or 3% conversion rate. You know, they're not saturated with tons and tons of conversion data. It's a small amount of conversion data. And, you know, it's kind of a guess. Some keywords have no conversion information, but they're super great search terms, and others, you know, have some, but you don't really understand why this converted and another one didn't. So yeah, I mean, most of the time I kind of throw my hands up and kind of take it very slowly, piece by piece.
Take it slow?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a right move to make is taking it slow. In the past, it would be very easy to just say, well, we're going to section off these broad keywords into their own ad groups and build some more ad groups that are focused, you know, service to keyword ad groups. They have a collection of keywords in there.
Okay.
Phrase and exact, just kind of traditional, and show up on similar searches that match those ads, match those landing pages, and it's the same kind of person doing the same kind of search. That's a little difficult now, knowing what we know about the other keywords in an ad group and the way they influence each other. Mm-hmm. And we read this a couple of weeks ago where it said something to the effect of Google's looking at the other keywords in your ad group to influence what you mean on a keyword. And so if I'm going to section off broad keywords into their own ad groups and then move the phrase and exact to other ad groups, I'm a little worried that I'm going to take that magic away. So again, Chris, what do you do here? Oh. Is just the answer, if something's working, you kind of just go slow and run experiments, turn on a second campaign doing phrase and exact and see how it performs? Yeah. I'm with you. I'm kind of thinking this through, but that's how I'm kind of thinking, is just be slow, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what I would do, but I'll tell you the strategy and the process that I apply when doing something like that. And it's essentially the hypothesis method of, I make a guess about something very specific, and I look at the data and I say, if I do this, what I think's going to happen is this. And then I make that change, and any other changes that I make along with it are going to be less drastic than that. I do not make multiple drastic changes. I make changes to a small degree after that major, you know. So if I pause an entire campaign, or, you know, pause an entire ad group, or pause some really important keywords, or change some important keywords, nothing else that I do from there is going to be drastic. And then I wait and see. I make a hypothesis, and then I let the data tell me. That's the process that I take for really confusing situations like this.
And it's difficult for longtime Google Ads managers, because at the end of the day, what we do makes sense to us, and it has worked for years and years, which is, okay, you're getting broad keywords, you're getting search terms. Let's look at the search terms that have been working from those broad keywords with conversions, and also search terms that just make sense if you don't have all your conversion tracking in place.
Yeah.
And then let's target those search terms as keywords, exact and phrase match, and let's get only those searches, as opposed to what broad is bringing, which is those searches plus stuff you don't want. That was traditionally how it's done. But now we're factoring in A, that we don't see in some cases half or more of the search terms. And so we don't know truly what broad is bringing in fully. And then the second thing is really messing with me, Chris, is this idea that ad groups are treated like display ad group, keyword ad groups, in a sense where they're looking at the different keywords in the ad group to influence what you're going to show up on. So then you throw responsive ads in the mix. So I think my takeaway is, when you have broad keywords mixed in, what I like to do and what I'm going to do, Chris, is go slow. Don't mess with what's working, but use your Google Ads knowledge that's brought you to this point, and that just makes common sense. If we show up on good search terms only, we're going to get better results. And you can run things in a more organized way with phrase and exact and all that. And whether it's an experiment or a draft or maybe a multiple schedule thing, like one day this campaign runs, the next day the other campaign runs, just adding on to the account, adding on to what's working, and seeing if you can outperform to the level where you have confidence to turn off the old and go with the new. You can't argue with it, but it is difficult to have that discipline and patience.
I like that's a good point. Focusing on adding on instead of taking away. That's what you're talking about.
Tearing up.
Yeah. Because with adding on, you're doing some damage, because you're adding complexity to something that's already complex. You're adding, you know, cannibalization. But you're at least able to analyze, how does this perform? And you can see that one thing and analyze that. So
as opposed to if you turn off the broad keywords or move them,
yeah.
And then you're like, why did they perform worse? Was it the responsive ad? Was it the other keywords in the ad group? Was it the reset of the ad score?
Just copying and pasting an ad group into a new campaign is asking for questions about why something failed. You can't just copy and paste. It's not, these keywords are so much more organic than they used to be. They're so much more of a living, breathing kind of thing now, instead of just keyword does this, keyword does this. That's not the case anymore. So it just copying and pasting ad groups over, or even copying and pasting keywords into a new campaign, you don't know what the result's going to be.
Right, right. And again, just to reiterate for people, this is not, we're not talking about a situation where your account is all broad keywords and you're not happy with your performance.
Okay, yes. Good point.
That's an easy decision.
Yeah.
Then you can look at the search terms and then start targeting phrase and exact keywords on stuff that makes sense and stop getting the stuff that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And going from broad to phrase and exact usually does that to a very, very large extent. This is in situations where broad is working amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to figure out how to improve it. So let's talk about that, Chris. We talked about what to do when there's like a few broad keywords mixed in, and our takeaway is kind of go slow and add on. Don't mess with what's working, but add on and try to beat it. But what if your entire account is broad match keywords and they're working? Would you just run with that sometimes and go with that and forget phrase and exact? Or do you think there's always a place for phrase and exact, even if it's just alongside broad? What are your thoughts on that?
If I am presented with a campaign where the person's happy with the performance, but they're concerned because, you know, they listen to the podcast and, you know, they realize I'm running all broad keywords, I have no real control, I would leave it the way it is and make sure that best practices outside of the keywords are all as good as they can possibly be. So I would actually focus on ad copy, device
extensions,
bidding, ad schedule, extensions, you know, things like that. I actually would not mess with the one aspect of the broad keywords.
Would you be, at some point you look at that search terms list, you see an amazing search term. Is there anything wrong with throwing in an exact match keyword?
Oh, yeah. I adding on.
If that's wrong, then I don't want to be right, Chris.
Right.
I can't go that far.
I mean, because
we give up on exact match.
Let's say it's working great. You get a 3% conversion rate on a broad keyword. Then you add the exact match or the phrase match of some 3-4 word long keyword. You might get a 7 or an 8% conversion rate. And you wouldn't know that until you added that keyword. So definitely adding on keywords makes sense for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think there is an argument to add on as long as you're not messing it up, because there's nice things that can come from phrase and exact match keywords. There's control.
Yeah.
There's the ability to bid essentially on different search terms that are coming in from those broad match keywords, and to then adjust your bids accordingly to your cost per conversion goals. Mm-hmm. So I like the precision and the control that can come with that. So before we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about kind of three different ways that you can approach an account that has all broad keywords that is working well, but you want to make better. But before we do that, we should do what we do every episode, Chris, and we should just reiterate and tell people to stop. And before you go any further, look at the search terms report and see what search terms the broad match keywords are bringing in, and think about search terms and negative keywords. Because even if you're going to continue running all broad, negative keywords is going to play a huge part of making that work. And then also, if you're going to do something new, which is what we'll talk about after the break, the inspiration and knowledge for those phrase and exact keywords that you're going to try to get more precision and control with, that data is going to come from your search terms report. So I just wanted to take a moment, Chris, and say that even when you're running all broad, the search terms report is maybe not even just as equally important as always, which is supremely important, but maybe more so, because you could be getting a lot of range of stuff in there, and that can change over time.
Yeah.
So dig into the search terms report is all I'm saying, if your broad keywords are working.
There we go.
And Chris agrees. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were going to.
So Chris, let's.
I thought we were going to cut it there. I thought that was a good. Just.
Oh yeah, my bad.
Let the music.
Yeah, I forgot how we do things here. You know. Go to the punch station. Give me some punch.
Okay.
Tell the DJ to put on a slow track and ask me to dance again.
I see a cute girl over there. I'm going to go ask her.
Ask me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind you to check out optio.com/PSP. There's a reason we tell you, because we have an amazing system that actually looks at your phone while you're listening to this podcast, and it scans all of your activity. Some of you should be ashamed, but there are others that have not signed up for Optio. So that's you, Sarah. We're talking to you, Sarah. You haven't signed up. So optio.com/PSP is the URL. We're going to have to open it on your phone for you if you don't. Just do it.
Okay, Chris. So let's
get into...
heavy?
Was that a little too creepy, Jason?
No, it was good. No. There's some Sarahs out there.
I know.
Their phone.
I've really been trying to reach out to Sarah. She hasn't been returning our calls.
I should say one Sarah out there.
Yeah. One Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, come on. Let me call your bluff here, Chris.
Okay. Do it.
Perfect results, at least in terms of the search terms coming in and nice conversion data. All broad keywords. You're not going to add phrase and exact at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a break.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Okay.
But
let's get real here.
I mean, unless there's a specific situation, I mean, I just never know. Because you're being real. I mean, like, if we're talking about someone selling t-shirts versus someone selling to a government agency, you know, broad keywords are working for t-shirts and broad keywords are working for a government agency software. You know, I'm probably going to change keywords for the t-shirts because it's easy to see why it's working, because you can kind of understand, like, okay, someone's looking for a t-shirt that's, you know, size large and it's red and it has a cat on the front.
So they have a bunch of graphic designs and your broad match is showing up on the search cheesy t-shirts.
Yeah. And you're like, and oh, I can see
it's cheesy. It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can kind of understand that. But with, you know, something really deep and complex and I can't really read their mind about what they're looking for because of the search, that kind of thing with some kind of deep industry kind of stuff, I may not change the keywords much at all because I can't infer a lot from those.
You may not even know the keywords.
Yeah.
If it's a privacy thing and they're showing up in the other search terms that you don't see. And that's one way you can look at this for some clues on how to go about adding new keywords to the extent you should. Look at that search terms report. Look at the bottom and it says something like total other search terms or something like that. And it's the search terms that you can't see. And I can't recall if it shows you the conversion data in that row or not. But if it doesn't, just add up the conversions that you can see and then take that against your overall campaign conversions. And you know how many are coming from the other, which you can't see.
Yeah.
And you can't come up with keywords that are leading to conversions from the search terms report because you can't see them. So I get how you're saying, man, again, we're coming to this theme of industry by industry.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of judgment calls. And in reality, what that means is account by account. But I guess we suspect here that if it's account by account, it makes sense that it's the industry it's based on. So let's say you are going to try to dive in here to these broad match keywords that are working and add on phrase and exact. How do you go about doing that? We have three different options. The first option, Chris, is that you can add phrase and exact ad groups or just keywords in the same campaign and mix them in with broad. The point is in the same campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll leave the ad group discussion alone, but adding keywords to your campaign that are phrase and exact.
Okay.
How does that sit with you? Would that be your first move? Pros and cons. What are you thinking?
Okay, so pros is it's simple, it's quick, it's easy. I can do it, and then, you know, there's no real risk.
Sold. This sounded attractive. Yeah.
Yeah. The con.
You can pause them if they don't work.
Yeah, you know, I can just do it, and I, you know.
And let me add one more pro. Potentially, you could give your responsive ads. This is so weird saying this. If you haven't listened to our earlier episodes and you're not up to speed, but you can give your responsive ads and the broad keywords and any other keywords in your ad group more context on what you want to show up on.
Yeah.
And that might help your broad keywords do even better. So that's a pro as well. More context to the ad group.
That sounds like witchcraft, what you're talking about. But for those of you that haven't listened, like Jason's, he knows what he's talking about. Like we know what we're talking about. It really is true. You can actually kind of change the direction of your campaign.
We actually saw that in the documentation a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So it's real.
Those are the pros. What are you worried about? Just adding phrase an exact into your existing campaign. What bothers you about that?
The con.
And before you start, okay. I can tell you're getting a little frustrated with me coming in, but I have to come in on this.
Okay.
Talk to someone called me this week, and we're going to do some business together.
Okay.
And they said they heard me from the podcast, and I go, oh, great. Yeah, me and Chris just kind of bang him out week after week. And he goes, oh, the good looking Chris. I go, yeah, yeah. And he goes, oh, I've never actually seen him. Because I listen to the audio and I go, oh, yeah, I forget how many more people listen to audio than YouTube because we're back up on YouTube. And it's so in your face, I see us on there. And I'm like, you got to check out the YouTube channel because he really is stunning.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Let me ask you a question about this. I want two questions. I get two questions here. Number one.
Why?
Have you... shut the... okay. Let me run my podcast, okay, Chris? This far. 316 episodes
in. You're right.
All right? Okay. Number one.
Number one in the world.
Besides me and our audience, throughout your life, are people telling you you're good looking?
No.
Does that happen?
No.
Really? Never?
No. Not really. No.
And you ought to thank everybody because you're hot, but you don't know it, and that's why you've developed this nice personality. To go along with your great looks, because you didn't think you could just make it through your looks, but you could have if you wanted
to. My wife doesn't even tell me. Most of the time, she's like, hey, you shouldn't eat that, those goldfish or that Oreo. You know, don't. You put that down. So
now, with great beauty comes great responsibility. Hmm. It is very, very true that you are very calibrated in terms of a range of beauty, in terms of the sleep you get, the exercise, the food you eat.
Yeah.
And we've all seen it here from time to time.
Yeah.
If any of those things get out of whack,
it goes bad.
You get out. But right now you're in your calibration. And seriously, never, you know, people coming up to you saying, do you want a model? Never?
No.
Never got discovered.
There was that one weird situation in a restaurant once. Somebody said, don't I know you? Aren't you a model? And
this thing doesn't happen to, you know what, I don't want to say what I get. It's got to do with a
do I know you from
movie actor that rhymes with Seth Rogen. And I'm just going to start punching people if they say that to my face. Yeah, I'm so sick of hearing that. Which, by the way, I haven't heard that in the last few years.
I don't know
if that's him not being as public. I don't know if that's one of us looking different.
He's gone downhill. You've gone uphill.
I don't know. That's what I'm worried about. But yeah. that's stuff I have to worry about, Chris.
All right.
The stuff you deal with is people coming up to you. Are you familiar? Aren't you that model?
I think the guy was like flirting with me or something.
If you walked the carpet with Tom Cruise, there'd be a lot of questions like, is that his way too old to be his son, or is that his nephew, like, or his younger brother? What is the deal?
The great thing about YouTube and audio is me and Tom Cruise would be almost like, I don't know, what is he like, 5'5" or something? 5'6", 5'7"? I'm not that much taller than him. So
yeah,
that's the great thing together. Is nobody can tell that I'm only like 5'10", you know, and you're like 6'10" or something. Tremendously unnatural.
Do you have aviator glasses?
No.
All right, I'd like you to buy some.
Okay.
I'd like to carry on the show if you're done.
Please.
Are you done?
Yeah, I was done when you started.
Okay. Hey, remember what I said about that personality,
right,
Chris.
Right. Don't.
Yeah.
I'm with
you. Can't change this late in life because those looks,
they'll go away.
They're going to go away.
Yep.
At some point.
What were we talking about?
What we were talking about was the cons of phrase and exact.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Keywords into the same campaign that was housing the beautiful broads. Keywords. How do you feel about that, Chris?
So the con for me is that the broad keywords will bully out the phrase and exact, that they won't really receive the volume that I might want them to. You know, they'll never really get the volume that I want. And I'm going to assume that we're on automated bidding. So probably I'll never be able to give them a fair chance. That, you know, so if I add them to the same campaign, it's going to take weeks, maybe months before I give them any significant volume so that I can actually make a decision. That's probably the worst of it.
That is the con. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's what you're weighing. So if you're not worried about the volume, if you're just like, look, if these don't get volume and I still work great on broad, then great. But if they do somehow get volume, then I'll get that insight. Then that's the way to do it, I think, is adding it to the existing campaign. If that's your judgment. Now, number two, the other option, the second option is, should you run an experiment campaign with phrase an exact keyword? So very simple thing you could do, Chris. You could set up an experiment. You could give it 20% of the traffic, half the traffic, whatever, and you could just, in that draft mode or whatever it's called, as you're setting up the experiment, highlight all your keywords, change them to exact match, do not duplicate, highlight all your keywords again, change the exact to phrase, and say yes, duplicate, and keep a copy of the original, which in this case would now be exact. You got your list of broad keywords that changed to phrase and exact, and you're ready to rock it with an experiment, and you're not touching your original campaign, but you're not creating a second campaign either.
Right.
You're running an experiment.
Right.
I mean, argue with that. That's pretty sound reasoning.
Pros for that is that is so clean. And I mean, like, you are a scientist in this situation. Like, you're doing a true hypothesis. You have your control and you have your experiment campaign, and you're running a test, and it is so clean. It's so easy to look at and tell what is happening here, what's happening there. I love it. The cons for that, I guess you're slowing down your original campaign. You're pulling some of the volume from it, but really, how are you going to make progress?
But you get to choose how much volume you're going to pull.
I mean, that's true. I'm struggling for a con on that.
Other thing, it's tough if you start adjusting your budget and then doing an experiment. I don't like that. Like you're saying, make one change.
Yeah,
I don't like that. So I'll take that back. But yeah, you're going to. The only con is really you're going to have to give a little up on your main campaign.
Okay.
A little of the budget that's allocated, or a little of the volume,
because
that will go to the experiment. But the good news is it's under your control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you only want to do 10% and run that for a long time, great. If you want to do 50% and get to a decision quickly, great. If you want to do 90% and get to a decision very quickly but not mess up the or not change the original campaign, but just run the other one, the experiment, for a while, you can do it. That's the nice thing about experiments. You just have to know where that data is, and you have to check your experiment area. But I think mostly that shows up in the campaign area now, so you're probably good. So I like that option, Chris.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Now, let's look.
It's my favorite so far. That's what I would put my money behind right there.
And really, even if we go back to earlier in the episode where we're talking about if there's just a few broad keywords in there, and tons of exact and phrase, you can still do the experiment thing and try it out.
Yeah.
Number three, or should you set up a copy of your campaign? And this is essentially what the experiment is, but instead of running an experiment, running a copy and pasted campaign that you then change and potentially run at the same times, the same schedule.
Oh.
But, I mean, you say that. It's really not the worst thing I've done.
Name a pro to this situation.
A pro is that you can control budgets at the essentially the experiment campaign level. And you're setting up an experiment, but it's not a quote-unquote experiment. It's a new campaign.
You can an additional pull it campaign. Back.
And you can control you can control it. Yeah, you can control it. And you can control the primarily the main thing at the beginning is the budget. You can control the budget. And the other thing is you can with an experiment, you made one change. And then you're going to go in there and do a bunch of changes as time goes on, maybe. But then if you do that, you have to decide if you want to apply those to the main campaign. It just gets a little messy versus a new campaign on its own that was copy and pasted and then you're running. You have full freedom to do anything you want in there, including give it its own budget. And you're not tied to the old campaign with that campaign anymore. So I like that freedom, Chris, to be honest.
You're right. That is a pro. But would you agree that the cons are the list of cons are probably much longer? Cannibalization issues, because that's the biggest thing to me, honestly. That's number one.
We looked at that a few weeks ago. It was like it used to be based purely on ad rank, which campaign Google Ads would pluck a keyword that can show up, that's eligible to show up for a search if there's multiple keywords in an account, whether it's different ad groups or different campaigns. It was based on ad rank. And then recently we looked it up and it was based on more factors.
Well, one thing that Google says is if you have an exact match and you have a broad match, it will give priority to broad match.
Yes, yes, yes. We did look that up. That is a problem. That's a problem if they're running again, if they're running at the same time as opposed to the experiment.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to
actually turning the other one off.
You're
going
to eat your other campaign alive. I mean,
potentially. Yeah. But Chris, the one art, and I agree with you. I think there's definitely cons to it, but I definitely think there's I see myself doing it sometimes, and I've done it, and it's fine. I think the end destination goal dictates what you should do here, or can help you make this decision. Because if you do want to get to a place where you turn off that old campaign and run your new campaign, then just running your new campaign to start with, along with the other one at the same time, gets you farther down the field to that goal. Because as soon as you see your new campaign working as good, you can pause the old one.
Yeah.
And so it can get you there quicker. That's a pro. And you run the risk of that cannibalization time, that time where you may not get the volume you want from the new campaign, or you may get more than you want, but you can always pause the campaign if it's not working.
So your favorite of the three, adding the keywords to the same campaign, use an experiment, or a duplicate of the original campaign, of those
three. Let me show you what it's like to ask you a question on the show. How could I possibly answer that question?
That
without
is
seeing
not,
the scenario.
I give solid answers all the time. Give me a break.
But no, I'm going to take a cop out here, Chris. It depends on the situation. It depends to what extent the broad keyword campaign is working. It depends on what the end goal is. Are we going to want to continue this campaign indefinitely?
Okay.
Or are we going to want to run our own campaign, a new campaign at some point? And it also depends to the extent, like how much we think, like you're talking earlier with the different industries, and one's more private, one's more obvious, t-shirts and government services, that kind of contrast you drew up. It depends on if you want to get to a place where you're running primarily phrase and exact versus if you see yourself running mostly broad forever. So I'm going to keep both options. I'm going to keep my options open, like okay. I do with hosting with the podcast host I have on the show.
No, you don't. You ain't got no options. You ain't got no options.
More true than you know, Chris.
You've tried and no one's biting. My favorite.
I would never try.
I'm going to say at least 51% of the time. So the majority of time, I am going to go with number two. I'm going to go with the experiment.
It's the safest. Yeah, clean, it's the safest, hands down.
Data is going to be clean. There is definite control, even though, you know, I am risking some change.
Well, we're getting to conclusions here, Chris, working this out together and improving our skill sets and our audience. The answer here is clear. When you find yourself in a situation when you walk into an account or you're a business owner and your account is all broad keywords and it's working great, the answer is clear. If you want to add on phrase and exact keywords, your default, you said 51%. I said I keep my options open, but the best way to phrase it is that the default option should be to set up an experiment.
Okay.
And if there's a reason why you want to do a second campaign at the same time, you have your reasons. It's an option. If there's a reason why you want to throw keywords, phrase and exact keywords into your existing campaign, the actual campaign itself, right then, you have your reasons and it's an option. But the default, the smartest move is to run an experiment. It's hands down the right move.
Yep.
And that's what I think we've come to together.
Okay. I like it. Wow. We don't usually like provide such concrete management advice. Usually we talk theory.
Sell it, Chris. Sell it. Sell the podcast.
This is good stuff, guys. You want more of this? I don't know. Hit the subscribe button and then hit the bell notification. I don't know what the crap they're supposed to do. But anyway, just come back. Because we're going to be here.
Come back. That's all we're asking for. Just come back. Maybe come back.
Yeah. Because we're going to be here. And if you're not, Sarah.
We're going to be here. That's for.
I'm going to be freaking pissed, Sarah.
We're going to be here. All right. So where can Sarah reach you, Chris?
Sarah can reach me at chrisschafer.com, where I provide live Google Ads consulting. If you want to see if the description lives up to the actual face, you can book me for a call and I can help you with the Google Ads account. If you just want to book me just to chat about life advice, same price. Don't give a discount for that. But I absolutely can help with that. Bookings are going quickly. High demand. ChrisSchafer.com.
Okay, Sarah, and if you're out there, RothmanPPC.com, Google Ads, Management and Consulting, and looking forward to hearing from you.
We'll see who hears from Sarah first. We'll talk about it next week.